Good morning, Christian Family Church! Hallelujah! What an amazing day it is to come out and give praise to our God who is worthy. Can I get a shout of praise in this place? Come on! We invite you to stand and worship with us as we give God glory this morning. I encourage you to sing.
Come on, everybody, wake up!
Come on. worship you this morning, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus.
Thank you. you today. We bless your holy name. For there is no God like you. There's nobody like you. You alone deserve all of our praise and all of our worship and all of our adoration. For you are great, Lord, and you are mighty. You are an awesome God. And the earth shakes before you. You are the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the fairest of 10,000, the bright, the morning star. You are the lily of the valley. You're the beginning, you're the ending, the Alpha, the Omega. You are the life, the resurrection. Lord, we worship you today. We thank you for your presence here this morning. And Lord, I pray for every person that is here today. And I pray that you will speak to every person, that you will minister to every life, that you will touch every heart, that we will leave here changed from glory to glory. And Lord, we give you all the praise, and we give you all the honor for everything that will be said and for everything that will be done. In Jesus' mighty name, if you believe that, shout out aloud, amen. Amen. Give the Lord another hand of praise today.
to welcome you. We're so glad to see you in church this morning. What a beautiful time of worship. So glad that you've joined us. And we especially want to welcome anyone who's here for the first time. We like having visitors, don't we, Pastor?
Absolutely. Always glad to have new folks. I met some new folks before the service this morning. And we're glad that you're here, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I know whenever you go somewhere new, it's kind of daunting, you don't know what to expect, but we hope you just relax and enjoy the service. And I don't know how you came here, maybe someone invited you, or perhaps you were just in the hotel and decided to come up, but I don't believe it's by accident. So I hope that you get something out of the service today that just helps you in your life. But what we like to do for visitors is we'd like to just give you a gift bag right where you're sitting. So if you are here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we can welcome you? God bless you. God bless you. Welcome. There's a number of visitors. Just keep it up till an usher gets a gift bag to you. Thank you. Thanks, ushers. Appreciate that. On this side as well. A front row and over there. Thank you. Wonderful. Over here, Karen. Thank you so much. I hope all your visitors got that gift bag. In there's a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We put it in there, hoping it'll be an encouragement to you at some point if you want to just listen to it. Also, there's a white card. If you just take a moment and fill that out for us at the end of the service or in a moment, we'll pass an offering bag by. Just drop that white card in. It gives our pastor an opportunity to call you. Just find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for joining us this morning.
Yes. Well, you know, We have some good news, right?
Sure.
On Friday, we became grandparents for the sixth time. So our sixth grandchild was born. Our oldest daughter, Robin, and her husband, Brian. They have three children, now four. So that this is...
So we're one granddaughter and five grandsons. Have we got a picture? Oh, there. That's me in the top. That's all I could do was FaceTime. Like every 5 minutes, I phone back just to check on him. So he's really sweet. He's got dark hair. It's the whole family together. And he was born on his dad's birthday on Friday. And they named him Jet Stephen. So he's really, he got his grandpa's. So
they named him Jet Stephen.
That's what I said.
But I'm calling him Stephen. As far as I'm concerned, he's Steve. He's going to be the favorite grandchild.
Dr. Brady.
Praise God. Well, thank you, Jill. How many of folks have got your 20 people list card in your Bible? Your 20 people list card. Take it out. Take out your 20 people list card from your Bible. If you don't have a 20 people list card, hold your hand up. The usher's going to give you one. If you don't have a 20 people list card, hold your hand up. We're going to pray right now for the people on this list. These are people that I want you to write down the names of people that you want to invite to church this week. People that you want to see get saved. Then we're going to pray for these people. You know, when you pray for people, God begins to move in their life. It really is amazing what happens. And, you know, it's to me... You know, with everything that we've seen with the whole election and what's going on in politics and even yesterday, marches and... Hey, listen, imagine if the church had the passion for Jesus that people have for politics. Can you imagine if there were millions of Christians marching across America, lifting up the name of Jesus boldly, passionately? Man, I just pray that we get some of that passion in the church. Right? So hold that card out, your 20 people card. We're going to do this every service. So if you don't do it today, you might as well, because you're going to get talked into this. Because God has called us. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. Say, I've been called. I've been chosen. Say, I have been anointed. And I have been sent to go into this, to go into my world and to make disciples. Now, whether you say that or whether you don't, God still has called us to do that. Amen? And so We want to pray for these people on our card, and you know what will happen? Sometimes the Lord will bring someone to your mind. You might meet somebody, and the Lord might say to you, put them down on your card and pray for them. Do you know the Bible says that when Zion travailed, and Zion is a type of the church. When Zion travailed, she gave birth to children. Do you know that when you pray for people that don't know the Lord, that really enables God and the Holy Spirit to work in their life? Amen? So take that card out, hold it up right now in your hand, say this with me. Say, Father in heaven, I pray for the people, the names written down on my list. I pray for their salvation. I pray that they would come to know you. I claim them for your kingdom in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that by your Spirit, that you would send people, surround them with people to witness to them. Lord, use me to reach other people. Thank you for filling me with boldness to be able to share the good news and invite people to church. And I am believing this year, I'm going to bring all these people to church in the name of Jesus. Say, we declare that our church is full. Say, this room is full. It is totally overflowing. Every seat is filled in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I really believe when you pray like that for people, then you see God work in their lives. I know my mom prayed for me, and if it wasn't for that, I don't know if I'd be here today. So thank God for praying mothers. Amen?
Yes.
Praise God. I've got a few things I've got to get through here this morning. So, well, first, first things first. Let's do first things first. We're starting out a new year. I want to ask you to open your Bible and to read with me from the book of Malachi in chapter 3. I'm going to read from verse number 10 from the Contemporary English Version Bible. This is offering time. This is the time when we prepare ourselves to give to the Lord, to worship Him with our giving. And the scripture says in Malachi 3, in verse 10, I am the Lord, all powerful. And I challenge you. Say challenge.
Challenge.
Tell your neighbor, challenge.
Challenge.
This is a challenge from God to you. Say, God is challenging me. What does he say? I challenge you to put me to the test. Bring the entire 10% into the storehouse so that there will be food in my house. Then I will open the windows of heaven and I will flood you with blessing after blessing. Now God issues us a challenge. And he says, I challenge you to put me to the test. Do you know, as far as I'm aware, maybe you know better than me, Mike, but I can't think of any other place in the Bible where it tells us to put God to the test. If anyone knows of another place, come tell me. But this is the only place that I know where it says to put God to the test. Do you remember when the enemy, the devil, Satan, came to tempt Jesus? And he said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself off this pinnacle. Right? Command these stones to be made bread. And what did Jesus say? You shall not tempt the Lord your God. This is the only place where God says, I challenge you to put me to the test. Test me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house and see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour you out blessing after blessing.
Amen.
In the month of January, as we start out this new year, we are in, you know, last week I spoke about keeping God first in your life. And one of the ways that you really, I mean, this isn't the only way, but one of the ways that you demonstrate to the Lord that He's first in your life is by putting Him first in your finances.
Amen.
By honoring Him and bringing the first 10%, which is called the tithe, into God's storehouse. Now, when you come into this is God's house. And when you come into God's house, then you bring your tithe to so that there can be food in God's house. Because how many of you know that for us to be here today, they don't give us all of this. We don't use this room for free. If you thought we did, we don't. We pay $3,000 every Sunday to use this room. So we have staff and we have expenses. So the Bible says when you bring the tithe into the storehouse so there can be food in my house, then God says, I, in turn, will open the windows of heaven and I will pour out blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. Is there anyone here can say, Pastor Steve, I have experienced that since I took God's challenge and when I began to tithe and bring the tithe into the storehouse, I've seen blessings take place in my life. Is anyone that can say amen? Anybody here like that? Good to see you, Mike. You know, when I was 17 years old, my first job, I worked at the bank. Started at the bank. And I started out, my salary was $400, $450 I think, my starting salary. A month, so $100 a week. I thought I was hit the big time. And I started tithing $40 a month, $10 a week. Now, I don't even think about $10 now, you know. I tipped the valet $10. But then it was a big deal. Then it was a step of faith. Because when you're making $40, or $400, excuse me, when you're making $400, then $40 is a lot. But I took that step of faith. And I started tithing. And I can tell you right now, within 14 months, I was offered another job in sales. And my salary went up to $750. And then I worked at that company for 6 months, and then one day I was walking through the mall where I worked at the mall, furniture store, and I saw a man setting out some furniture. And the Lord, I felt inside, go and talk to this man. It was God telling me, I was still learning then. So something was telling me, go and talk to that man, and now I know it was the Lord, but then I didn't. But I went ahead and I went over and said, introduced myself, and his name is Norman Backos, and turned out that he and his brothers owned a whole chain of higher scale furniture stores around South Africa. And his top sale, one of his top salesmen had just resigned. And he said, I'm looking for a salesman. Are you interested? Because he was a Christian. I'm a Christian. He went to Raymer. And so the next thing, here I go, he offers me a job. And my salary bumps up to $1,200. So then he says, stay with me 3 months. I'll put you on commission. You'll make $2,000. Sure enough, by the time I was 20, I was making $2,000 a month. Now, I started out at $400. I didn't finish high school. And the only thing I can tell you is blessings started happening to me. Here I go, blessing come on me. We got an apartment, and then we got all this free furniture given to us. And then we moved in our first home. We had no money down. And then we sold it 2 years later, made $65,000. I can stand here all day and tell you how God has blessed me as I accepted that challenge, put in first, and started tithing. At 17, God has blessed me and blessed me and blessed me. Can anybody else say amen? Today. So I want to encourage you in the month of January. I really believe, and I say this sincerely, this can be a year of tremendous blessing for you. This can be a year of tremendous increase for you. This is a year of increase. This is a year of blessing. Don't miss out. Because let me tell you, when you take God's challenge, it's not my challenge, it's God's challenge. God said, I will open the windows of heaven. I don't know about you, but I want the windows of heaven open over my life. I don't want them closed. How about you? I want them open. I know that it is a step of faith to begin to tithe and give 10% of your income. I realize that. But that's why God responds so greatly, because it demonstrates your faith in Him, your trust in Him. Amen? You see, if I'm trusting in my money, it's hard to give it away if that's where my trust is. Because if I give it away, I've got nothing to trust in. But when I'm trusting in God, I can give, then more comes back. Then I can give, then more comes back. Because I'm not trusting in the money. I'm trusting in Him. And that's what God wants. He wants your trust. Can you say amen, somebody?
Amen.
So, we did this last week and the week before. If you would say, Pastor Steve, I'm going to start out this year. I haven't been tithing faithfully, or maybe you say I started and I stopped, or I haven't been consistent. To make that commitment this year, to take the tithe challenge, we want to send you a book called The Treasure Principle. If you will accept that challenge today, then fill out this tithe challenge card. Make that commitment to God. We want to send you this book called The Treasure Principle by Randy Acorn. It's a fantastic book. And if you fill out this card, put it in the offering, then we'll get that book to you. We'll send that book to you. If you say, Pastor Steve, I am deciding this year is going to be a new year for me. This year is going to be a year of blessing and increase. This year, I'm putting God first in my life, first in my finances. I'm taking the challenge. I am going to start tithing from now in the name of Jesus. I'm taking that step of faith, Lord, and I'm believing God is going to open the windows of heaven and flood me with blessing after blessing. How do you know? You might get a phone call tomorrow with a promotion. You might get a new job offer tomorrow. You might get someone call you up, a new client. I mean, let me tell you, you don't know. God's got 1,000 ways He can bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
So if you want to get one of those cards, just raise your hand up high. The ushers, well, a lot of people have done this already, but if you haven't and you'd like to today, hold your hand up high, take a card, take that challenge, put God first, honor Him, and watch and see what happens. Amen? I want you to hold your tithe and offering in your hand. We're going to pray over it right now. As you know, there's various ways that you can give. You can give by cash, check, credit card. You can give online at cfcjupiter.com. That's not right. That's cfcjupiter.org, O-R-G. You can give by text giving. Text the number to 855-956-1555. You can give by using the Secure Give app, and you can mail it in. So I want you to hold it in your hand, and we're going to pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, that You are faithful. You promise that You watch over Your word, and You perform it. You are not a man that You should lie. If You have said it, surely You will do it. And Father, we take You at Your word. We believe Your word is true. And I thank You, Father, that as we bring our tithes into Your storehouse so that there may be food in this house, I thank You, Lord, that You open the windows of heaven and You pour blessing after blessing after blessing upon Your people. I thank You for bringing increase. I thank You for abundance. I thank You for provision. I thank You for promotion. I thank You, Lord, for opening doors supernaturally. I thank You for pouring out blessings, Lord, on this church. We thank You and praise You. In the name of Jesus, if you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Say thank You, Lord, that the windows of heaven are open over my life. And You are pouring out blessing after blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Is everybody ready this morning?
Yes.
Ushers, can I ask you to go ahead and receive the offering today? Can I ask you to go ahead and do that? Thank you so much. And let me just mention two things before. We have a special guest with us today. Special guests, I should say. And before I introduce them, there's just two things I want to tell you about. Two things that are happening. And number one is on the first week of February, we are starting a brand new series in our Connect groups. During the week, we meet in Connect groups, Wednesday night, Thursday night. Before we get to that, I want to ask you, show the video of the Circle Maker. We're going to start a series called The Circle Maker. Just quickly watch this video, and I'll tell you about it. Thank you.
few years ago, I discovered the legend of Honi the Circle Maker. It changed the way that I pray. I started drawing prayer circles around my kids, around the promises in Scripture, around some of the miracles that I was believing God for. You can't just read the Bible. You need to start circling the promises. Listen, start praying wisdom around your kids. Start praying power around your problems. Start praying with faith around your dreams. Praying through is not just about getting the answer that you want from God. Praying through is about praying even when you don't get the answer that you want. Our prayers are like time capsules. You never know how or when or where God's going to answer them, but you can live with the holy anticipation.
All right. Now, the Circle Maker is my wife read the book. Pastor Jewel listened and watched the videos and said it was so great, teaching how to pray about situations in your life, to pray in circles. And so we're going to be starting that series in the beginning of February in our Connect groups. And I want to ask you to show the Connect groups. If you are not part of a Connect group, I really encourage you. We have a group in Stuart. We've got Tom and Anna Cartwright. That should be Tom and Anna Cartwright. And there is their address, their email, their phone number. They meet on Wednesdays in Stuart. We have James and Angela Smith in West Palm Beach. They meet on Thursday night. And there is their phone number, their address, and their email. Then Miguel and Natalie have a group in Tequesta on Wednesday nights. And then Liz Carlson has a group in North Palm Beach on Wednesday. And then I'm going to be doing a group on Wednesday in Jupiter at my house. If you're not in a group, I'm going to start a group at my house. And also Pam and Jerry Sayeg in the farms. Also, I don't see them up there, but Pam and Jerry are going to be doing a group in the farms as well. So we have six different groups going. And this series will run for 4 weeks, right? For 4 weeks, and it's, I think there's 20-minute videos, so we watch the video, we're going to talk about it, discuss it, we have a great time of fellowship. If you're not part of a Connect group, I really encourage you, bring the lights up for me for a second, because if you're not part of a Connect group, and you say, Pastor Steve, I'd like to join a Connect group, I'd like to attend, this is a great place to make friends in the church. Just lift your hand up right now. The ushers have a Connect group card. You just fill out your card and put it in the offering, or give it to the ushers, or put it handed at the book table, and we'll have the Connect group leader call you. So just lift your hand up if you're not in a Connect group. If you want to come to the Connect group at my house, lift your hand up and fill out the card. If you're in Jupiter, then fill out that card, and we would love for you to be there. One more thing, and that is we are going to be starting a new Christian growth class that is also on the first Tuesday in February. The first Tuesday in February. What date is it? Excuse me, the 7th of February. It is the first Tuesday, right?
Yes.
February the 7th, we are starting our next Christian Growth Seminar. Roll the video, please, of the Christian Growth Seminar.
You must come to the Christian Growth Seminar.
It's opened up a whole new world in the Bible. I've gone to church all my life.
I thought it was incredibly awesome, life-changing.
Pastor Steve is amazing. He make it so easy and so understanding.
It's really powerful. I learned so much in a short period of time. And I've been a Christian for a number of years, and surprisingly, in every section, there was something to be learned.
I have been a seeker of truth for as long as I can remember, and I have learned more in this experience than I have the whole time in my many years.
I thought it was phenomenal. I loved it. Pastor Steve Barry is a wonderful teacher. He explains things that created in me a new hunger and a fire for more of God's Word.
So, this is my second time doing the Christian Growth Seminar. Wonderful. I recommend it for anyone. I want to tell you that you learn. I know you might have heard this over and over again, But Pastor Steve, he has a way of explaining the scriptures to you that you never even imagined it was that way. So I recommend it highly.
Pastor Steve is a wonderful teacher. He brings a lot of clarity and depth of experience to his teaching. We just enjoyed the class thoroughly. It refreshed our Christian walk, and we grew closer to each other, actually, as a couple. So we're very grateful for the class.
Something I've been guilty of a long time is not going to a class like this, but I really enjoyed it. It was really very, very educational. I would recommend it to any new Christian, old Christian, anybody that wants to further their faith.
And let's just say there's more fire and meaning to the word more than ever, and it's just been incredible. I don't want it to end.
I've been attending church for years and years and years, but attending this Christian Growth Seminar really just gave me a deeper understanding, the way he explains things and the way he is so no-nonsense about how he presents the Word of God.
Some things I knew and he expanded on. Other things came as a surprise.
I can't believe I'm going to say this. I have been afflicted with something since I've been a child, and I'm now 73 years old. And it's been lifted because he said, if you are a believer, instead of not thinking you're worthy, God has forgiven you, and claim now that you want this miracle to happen in your life. And as he was preaching it, I did it. And the miracle happened. I know it sounds crazy, but it happened. I had joy, I had peace for the first time in my life.
Incredibly awesome. Most definitely I would recommend it to anybody and everybody.
It's really necessary and it's really a wonderful thing. So I'm really glad I decided to do this course.
I would invite all your friends, if I were you, to come and share this experience.
Please make sure you do attend this class because you're going to understand things that could take you years and years to understand otherwise. It'll cut through a lot of questions for you. So I really suggest this for your growth.
And I recommend it to everybody.
I think it was well worth coming to.
Really, really enjoyed it, and I would suggest this class for anybody.
Praise God. Well, you're getting the idea, right? Christian Growth Seminar, starting February 7th, right here at the hotel. I teach the class. It runs for 4 weeks. It's free of charge. If you haven't done the class, I highly recommend you to do it. The things you will learn, you'll learn about how to pray. You'll learn about your inheritance as a member of God's family. You'll learn about how to receive the power and ability of God in your life. I mean, how to walk in God's financial blessing, how to find your place in the kingdom of God. There's so many things on this class. If you've never done the Christian Growth Seminar, and you say, Pastor Steve, I want to be on the next class on February 7th, you need to enroll, you need to register. Lift your hand up right now. The ushers have the Christian Growth sign-up pad. Cards, you just take one, fill it in, put in the offering, hand it in the bookstore, or give it to one of the ushers. We need to know how many people to prepare for. So please, if you haven't done the class, your arms should be up. You should be waving like this right now. Give me a card. I want to go on that class. Now, praise God. We've got a lot going on. I'm sorry that it's got so many announcements here, but we're done now, just about. And we have some very special friends with us today. My friend Zane, I have known him for many years. Right? And I just met Angelina, his fiance. They are engaged to be married. Well, not official. Well, it is now. Well, it is now, right? But I said to him, I'm doing a wedding this afternoon. I'm doing a wedding. I said, I'll make it a twofer. I'll give you a real good rate on it, too. But no, Angelina's from Australia. Thank you. Her dad is a pastor. He used to be in the mafia. That's what you told me. It's true, he was in the mafia. He's Italian. What's your last name? Rosieri. And now he's a pastor. And so they've met, dating 11 months, and she leads worship. And thank you for joining with our team and coming early to rehearse this morning. Even though they got in like 11:30 last night. and you were up early rehearsing. Thank you so much for blessing us. And I know you're still going to sing some more today, right?
Yeah.
Right? Praise God. In fact, are you ready? Won't you welcome Angelina? Would you come and minister in song for us now? Give her a big round of applause.
God is good, amen.
Yeah.
Okay, so all good? Okay. Just feel free to, if you want to stand with me, if you want to sing with me, or you know, stand and with and worship with me. That's awesome too. This song is called Oceans, and I just recently recorded a video for this song last week. So I hope it blesses your heart, and just worship with me.
Thank you.
going to be coming up. Don't turn the lights up. Mike's going to be coming up right now. I want you to see who Mike Francine is, what God has done through his life. The things that God has done and that Mike has done or the Lord has done through Mike and with Mike are just amazing. Just amazing. I want you to watch this quick video and then he's going to come up and he has a word from the Lord for you. He's going to be speaking about never too dead for a resurrection. It's never too dead for a resurrection. I said it's never too dead to see a resurrection. Amen.
Believe that this generation has a right to know that Jesus Christ is alive and does miracles today. And that is why I believe in Master Save Evangelism.
Praise God. Isn't that amazing? I want you to give a big Christian family cheers. Welcome to Evangelist Mark Francine. Man, when I look at that video and I see those crusades, I mean, it really does something to me. It really touches me. How many nations have you been in?
103.
103 nations. You've done crusades in 103 nations. How many crusades have you done?
Hundreds. I've done 44 crusades just in India. I've been to India 29 times, but 44 crusades just in India, so I've done hundreds. I don't know.
How many people have come to Jesus in your crusades?
13 million.
13 million. Now, Mike's doing crusades this year. He's got a big crusade in Nigeria.
Yeah, Nigeria, Liberia.
You got a big crusade in Liberia.
Me and my baby, she's sneaking out. She does it every time we get to speak. we're going after. We've got a few more meetings here in the States, and we're going back to Australia and New Zealand for 3 months of meetings and coming back here. Going to South Africa with you in the fall.
Absolutely. You know, I said to Mike, the Lord is, I have it on my heart so strong to be crusades. And I'm going to link up.
Absolutely.
I'm going to join up. I'm going to support you. I'm going to go to his crusade in Nigeria in November. We're going to go to the crusade in November, right?
Deal.
You're going to let me preach because I'm going to.
Absolutely.
I can't wait, man. Praise God. How did that all begin? How did it all happen? How did this happen?
I was playing college basketball in Minnesota. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. Accepted the Lord after the first season.
You weren't raised in a Christian home?
No, not at all.
And you played basketball?
Playing basketball.
And you love basketball?
I love basketball.
So you told me.
Yes.
How many hours a day did you play basketball?
8 to 10
hours a day. You were obsessed with basketball?
I was obsessed.
Every day?
I was basketball possessed.
And then what happened?
Accepted the Lord after the first season. Started preaching 6 weeks later. And
you gave your heart to Jesus when you were how old?
I was a teenager.
Teenager. And 6 weeks later, you preached your first message.
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
6 weeks later. And then what happened?
Then I got an invitation from a man I was working with a small church up in Minnesota. I've got some good friends of mine, Dave and Renee Howard. Dave's worked with me in the nations of the world for many years. And we were going to a church up there, and I was the missions director. We didn't have any missions, but I was the director of a lot of churches. And I got a letter one day from a pastor in St. Paul asking me to come. There was a man, Ben Smith, the host from Benin City, Nigeria, was coming and doing a few weeks of meetings there. And so I picked him up 15 minutes after we met. He invited me to come and live with him in his home for 3 months in Nigeria. And so 6 weeks later, I found myself there. And then
6 weeks later, you found yourself in Nigeria with Pastor Benson.
Yeah. And I saw the mass crusades. I saw, you know, I was raised on a farm, Bradford, Minnesota, population 97. I grew up with the cows and feeding the chickens. And, you know, started working with the church, started speaking. And the extent of my international travels prior to meeting Nita Hose was I went to Wisconsin twice and South Dakota once. That was the extent of my international travels. And the first week I accepted the Lord, I got a hold of one of T.L. Osborne's books, Soul Winning, Out Where the Sinners Are. And in there I saw pictures of mass crusades, and God birthed the vision on the inside of me to go to the nations. And here it is all these years later.
So you watched Pastor Benson do mass crusades,
yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
And then you said, I can do this.
No, God kept saying, I heard his voice.
But the Lord said, I can.
The Lord kept saying, to me it was audible. I heard it for weeks. It woke me up out of my sleep. You can do this. You can do this. You can do this. Gift will make way for you. And to me, it was awkward. It was annoying to wake me up.
Really?
I had no idea how I was going to get from where I was at. Because I was making $25 a week as a missions director in the church. And I was living in the basement, the boiler room of the church. And I had no idea how I was going to get from where I was at to the nations of the world that God had put the vision on the inside of me. And so, you know, then I get this letter from this pastor. I didn't know him, now I knew me. And 6 weeks later, you know, and he says, you get your airfare over there, and you're going to stay with me in my home. I was making $25 a week. Now, I was never great at math in school. But I knew that if I saved my $25 a week for 6 weeks, it was not going to pay for my $1,600 airfare ticket. And so the last meeting he was there, Vince stood up, and he said, son, stand up. fussed up. He said, "This is my son." He said, he's very well in his body, but very sick in his finances. And he said, he's going to come live with me for 3 months in my home. And I didn't know how to get from where I was at. The $25 a week living in the basement in the boiler room of the church. So the nation says, "Oh, well, I had no idea." Then I get this letter. And at the last meeting, he says, "Son, so I step up." And he said, "This is my son. He's going to come live with me for 3 months in my home in Nigeria." And he turned this pastor on the stage. He said, "And you're buying his airplane ticket." And he did. 6 weeks later, I was there. And 15 minutes after he met, he invited me to come. And I said, "Papa, why 15 minutes after we met did you invite me to come and live with you in your home?" He said, "I know what God told me about your life, and you had to learn how to do big crusades." I said, "What am I supposed to do now?" He says, "Some know, don't do likewise." And so I've just gone down to 103 nations, 29 times India, and I've been
so then the first one, you were, how old were you?
Oh, I was 20.
You were 20 years old. Your first crusade, right? You told me that you made posters to advertise the crusade, but you looked so young that you took a pen and you...
No. They wanted to... See, when I first crusade, I didn't want to grow. See, all right, now I know that you think that I'm young and handsome now. Listen, I've been here before. You're supposed to say amen at a certain time, all right? We're gonna try. I know you think I'm young and handsome now. This is 30 years ago. And I remember sending my picture over to India the first time I was doing a crusade there. And these pastors saw me. He said, "Young boy, we can't put this picture on these posters. Nobody will come." And so they said, "We want to take and draw a mustache on your picture." And I said, "No. I said, it's a handsome picture." Another alien opportunity here, because I got some work to do. And I said, "No." And in that crusade, God did something special. Little boys and girls that had probably never walked or stood. Dozens of them got up. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, walking for the first time. And that first crusade in India that we had, we took names and names of people who accepted the Lord. And that first day, we recorded 37,000 decisions for Jesus. And so it was just...
It's not over.
No, just beginning.
It's not over. And I want you to listen carefully today, church, because my friend Sina is going to share with you how to give birth to an impossible dream. What God put in your heart may seem impossible, but God took him $25 a week, living in a basement, 19 years old, and now he's been to 103 nations, 13 million. God saved. Isn't that amazing? Come on, give the Lord a big hand of praise.
Father, we just thank you for this opportunity of gathering here today in your name and in your presence. Giving of our time, sacrifice of our hearts, sacrifice of our lives, sacrifice of our finances. Preparing our hearts to receive from you today. God, speak to us beyond anything that I could say. Let your spirit bring life to people's lives. Breathe life today. We give you honor and glory for everything you're about to do in and to and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. I love the beginning of each new year. Because we can close a chapter on last year. If it was good, God wants this year to be great. And if it was a hard year, if you went through your times of hell, so this year is a new year. But see, you've got to understand, you can't write this next chapter. And I don't want anybody to dictate this next chapter in my life. I want to pen those pages based on what God's put on the inside of me. Don't ever let anybody steal from you what God's put on the inside. And you've got to be aware of the dream thieves, because they always come dressed in church clothes. You can't write this next chapter of your life. You cannot write this chapter of 2017 if you keep rereading the last chapter. It's time to turn the page. And I like to say it like this: forget about yesterday. She's already forgotten about you. Don't worry about tomorrow. You haven't met her yet. Seize the opportunities that God has for you today. And so Steve kind of set up this very nice today of how I got from where I was at to the place. I didn't know how I was going to get from where I was to the nations of the world. I didn't know how I was going to get on the crusade platforms of mass evangelism. And I remember what it's like to begin to give up on that dream that God had put on the inside of me. So when I was first saved as a teenage boy, I opened the book and I saw the pictures of the mass crusades. But I didn't know how I was going to get from where I was at to the place that God wanted me to be. And so I began to abort my dream. Everybody said I was too young. I had no experience. I didn't know how to praise and worship properly. And so they begin to try to steal and pluck out the dream that God had put on the inside of me. You know, one of the great tragedies that we see in the world today, in this country, in the nations of the world, is the tragedy of abortion. For a thousand reasons, people might abort that unborn baby. Financial reasons. A myriad of reasons we begin this abortion process. And at the very moment of conception, that baby begins to form. And at 6 weeks, the eyes and the fingers and everything begin to form. And it's a great tragedy in the world today. It's a great tragedy in this nation. It's the abortion of unborn babies. It's sad in India. It's illegal, actually, in the nation of India, to find out the sex of an unborn child. Because if they find out it's a girl, most likely they would have an abortion. Because girls are very expensive. They call it plus and minus in India. If you're having a boy, it's a plus. If you're having a girl, it's a minus. And so abortion is a tragedy. But I think, Pastor, one of the greatest tragedies that we see in the church today is not the abortion of babies. It's the abortion of God-given dreams and visions that He has placed on the inside of you. And for a myriad of reasons, people abort the dreams and visions that God has placed on the inside. And some of you are sitting here today, and you look at your life and realize that maybe years ago, God placed a dream and vision on the inside of you. Maybe it was to go to the nations. Maybe it was to pastor a church. Maybe it was to start a business to finance this end time harvest. Maybe it was to be one of the worship leaders. And for a thousand different reasons, we can think, I'm too man, I'm too woman, I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too... You're always too something in regards to the church. But God looks at you through different eyes. And I don't know what it is. And I'm not saying you've not done anything for God. I'm not saying you've not touched on the edge of the destiny that He has for your life. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that you have not totally fulfilled what God has given you to do. And today, I want to talk about something. Because this, and I love this, if you're not dead, God is not done. Amen. Everybody, just say that. Say, if I'm not dead, God is not done. So that dream and things that you've put on the back shelf, that you've put up, and you've kind of aborted that. Maybe you've touched on different parts of it. But there is dreams. And listen, the Bible says the whole body fitly joined together. If you are not fulfilling the dream and the vision that God put on the inside, the call that He put on the inside of you, whatever it is, it may not be to go to the nations of the world, but every single one of us has a desire, has a call. And if you've not fulfilled it, how can this church, how can Christian Family Church of Jupiter be all that God wants it to be? If we are the whole body fitly joined together, and you're not fulfilling your dream and vision, how can this church be all that God wants it to be? You know what? It can't. You're planted here for a purpose and for a reason. So I want to begin to read out of the book of John. We all know this story, but I want you to see something and hear something and experience something here today. And if anything else happens, I just pray that this morning you get a fresh glimpse of Jesus. A fresh sight of Him, a fresh taste of Him, a fresh infilling of Him. If anything else, if God will touch your heart. In John chapter 11, I'm going to quickly read through this passage. John 11 verse 32. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet saying, Lord, if You would have been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and he was troubled. And they said, where have you laid Him? And they said, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how He loved Him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of a blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus again, groaning Himself, came to a tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of Him who was dead, said, Lord, by this time he stinks because he's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said, did I not say to you that if you would only believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying. And we know the story. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And the man who was dead for 4 days, bound in grave clothes, came out of the tomb. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Natural minds, medical science, said there was no hope for Lazarus to ever take another breath on this world. But Jesus comes. When what were they saying? Lord, by this time he stinks. It's too late. 4 days have passed. If you would have been here 4 days ago, maybe things would be different. But by the Lord, by this time he stinks. What did Jesus say? Take away the stone. Never too dead for a resurrection. And if you don't believe that, just ask Lazarus. No, listen. Your dream. Maybe you've aborted it. Maybe you've given up hope on it. Maybe the passage of time has stolen all hope that you can ever fulfill the gift and the call that God's placed on the inside of you. But I'm here today to say and declare and decree to you that it's never too dead for a resurrection. Can somebody say amen here today? How many of you here today sit in this place? And I don't know what the desire was. I don't know what the call was. I don't know what passion that God put on the inside of your heart. But you know, maybe months, maybe years, maybe decades ago, that God had called you to make a difference, to fulfill the gift and the call that He's placed on the inside of you. But maybe you've touched on it, but you've never actually fulfilled that which God has given you. And for whatever reason, you aborted that God-given dream and vision. How many here today would say, I've got aborted dreams in my life. Let me see your hands. Just go way behind. Steve, look around this place. Look. 75% of the people aborted dreams and visions. How can this church be all that God wants it to be if you don't fulfill the dream that God's given to you? I'm here today to tell you it's never too dead for a resurrection. I'm here to tell you, oh dear, where's my water? I'm going to baptize somebody here today. Listen, it's not too dead to be resurrected. The dream that God gave to you, it's out without revoking. He never takes it away. Your dream is not too dead to be resurrected. Can somebody say amen here today? Amen. I'll come and baptize you all here in the back row if I have to. Listen, this is the hope that I bring today. The message of hope. It's your dream. I don't care if the passage of time spans over years or decades. Your dream is not too dead to be resurrected. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
You know, I look at these videos and these stories, and my mind goes back, you know, to so many of the testimonies. And Dave, my good friend, and he's worked with us as a crusade director for many years. I go back and I see these videos, and I remember the different stories and different testimonies. I remember years ago, I did a crusade in Mozambique, in the southern part of Africa. Powerful crusade. And about 2 years after that crusade, a pastor from Mozambique came to my office in Tulsa. And he said, Mike, I've got to tell you some of the stories and testimonies that I heard after the crusade. They never even made it to the platform to testify. And he said, I've got to tell you this one story. He said, you remember this one lady? They carried her there in a stretcher every single day to the crusade. And they laid her right by the stage where the stage would out get off. They laid her right there. And she couldn't move her fingers. She couldn't move. All she could do was just turn her eyes. She was dying of AIDS. The doctor said she'd be dead in 2 days. Nothing she could, no hope, no medical science had a breakthrough for the AIDS that had ravaged her body, that had stolen life from her. And every day as I leave the stage, I lay my hands on her. He said, Mike, you remember? I said, I remember. I thought she was paralyzed. He said, no, Mike, she wasn't paralyzed. She was dying of AIDS. The doctor said in 2 days she'd be dead. She was so weak she couldn't move. They carried her on a stretcher every day. And he said, I'm going to tell you, he said, the very next day after the last day of that crusade, one of the pastors went to visit her. And she got up and she said, all of the AIDS, all the disease, she went to the doctor and they couldn't find a trace of it. She was totally, come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Now listen, the doctors have said there's no hope. The doctors have said she's dying and is basically dead. All she's doing is breathing and existing. There's nothing doctors could do, nothing the church could do, but Jesus said, never too dead for a resurrection. Can somebody say amen? I don't care how much time is left. I don't care how dead you think your dream is. It's never too dead for a resurrection. Can somebody say amen? My mind's just flooded back with all the stories and testimonies. I remember another story from this crusade that we did in Liberia. This lady, her name was Beatrice. She was 21 years old. And she was when she was an infant child, she contracted polio in her legs. Left her legs totally dead. And she had these big, they call them iron shoes. She had braces that went down each leg. And special straps and screws and shoes. And with those, she could stand and walk. Without them, she never stood or walked a day in her life. Doctors said there's nothing they could do to cure the symptoms of polio that had ravaged her legs. Her legs were dead. While I was preaching that time in a crusade, that day in a crusade, I hadn't even prayed for the sick. I hadn't even spoken the words. I was just preaching Jesus, that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And while I did, all of a sudden Beatrice sat there on the ground with her iron shoes and braces, and her body began to shake. And she unbuckled and unstrapped and unscrewed those braces. And she stood to her feet, held those braces over her head, and began to run through the crowd because somebody shout hallelujah here today. Never too dead for a resurrection. The doctors have said there's no hope, those legs are dead. What about your dream? What about your vision? Lord, by this time, he stinks. He's been dead for 4 days. Jesus said never too dead for a resurrection. 75% of the people in here just raised your hand saying that so to one degree or another, you've aborted your dream and your vision. Today, life is coming to you. Lord, come and see where we laid him. Jesus said, take away the stone. Listen, I want you to understand something here today. Jesus could have moved the stone. How spectacular would it have been if he would have walked up to that cave and stomped his foot in that cave and caused the ground to shake and the stone rolled away and Lazarus came on gloriously. How spectacular could it have been if he would have summoned 1,000 angels to remove that stone? Jesus could move the stone, but he didn't. He says, take away the stone. Lord, by this time he stinks me. He's been dead for 4 days. He says, didn't I say to you that if you would only believe, you would see the glory of God? And what's the next verse say? And it says, then they took away the stone from the place where they did not have land. You know what? There's a miracle for your dream today. But where is it? It's in the cave behind the stone. How are you going to get this miracle out? You got to move the stone. How do you move the stone? You got to do what Jesus said to do. Stone movers are world shakers here today. Stone movers can bring life to your dream, your goal, your vision. I don't care why you aborted it. It's with all repentance. He never takes it away. It's there. And so as I've gone to the nations of the world, it's just been amazing the things that we've seen. I remember there's the very first crusade, you know, you were talking about the first crusade I had was in the Philippines. And this is kind of going on with that story. So my pastors said that I was too young. I had no experience, so I couldn't go to the nations of the world. So I got on the plane and went anyways. Dream thieves. I got over to the Philippines. This is 30 years ago. I got over to the Philippines. Met some pastors there. They wouldn't work with me. See, I wouldn't have worked with me. And I remember, I had $120 in my pocket for my very first crusade. I went there for 6 weeks to win the world. Everybody's waiting for $100,000 in a crusade. Man, all you need is $120. I did it. And there was a city there that nobody had ever had a crusade in. There was 9 pastors in that city. So I gathered those pastors together. I said, pastors, come. We're going to have a great crusade. God's going to do miracles and thousands will come. Do you know what? They can vote in the Philippines too. They voted I was too young and had no experience, so I couldn't, they wouldn't work with me. I remember the first time, you know, growing up on the farm right through Minnesota, I'd never seen multitudes of people before you to horses. I remember the first crusade, I printed up these tiny little posters. Miracle healing crusade, bring the blind, the deaf, and the cripples of God's going to heal them. Went to the radio station, had about 5 watts of power, reached the whole city block. Spent my radio budget. It was $15. 2 radio spots. Bring the blind, the deaf, and the cripples, and God's going to heal them. I get to the very first night of my very first crusade. And I looked out there, Steve and Joe, I looked out there. I've never seen so many sick people in all my life. They were leading men on the blind people and carrying them on stretchers, women with huge tumors hanging off their throats. And I ran behind the stage and said, my God, what have I done? I said, dear Jesus, I'm too young. I have no experience. I'll never do this again. Help me, God. I'm not preaching, I'm telling you the truth. But then a thought came to me. I didn't come in the name of a church. I didn't come in the name of a religion. I didn't come in my own name. I came in the name. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah today. And when that thought came, a boldness came on the inside of me. And I went and I grabbed the microphone and preached like I'd done 1,000 times before. I preached Ida Hosa's message. God will single you out. I shared his testimonies like they were wrong. I figured they belonged to God, so it's community property. And so I never prayed a mass prayer for the sick. The very first person who testified was a man who was in a war and a bomb went off next to him. Left him totally deaf for 35 years. He could hear. The next person had not walked or spoken in 7 years. He got up walking, talking. I laid my hands on this woman had a big tumor on her throat and the thing fell off of my hands. In that very first crusade, we saw 4,000 people accept Christ. Listen, your dream is not too dead to be resurrected. There's life coming to people's feet too. Everybody say, never too dead for a resurrection. Today, resurrection life comes to you. I don't care how much time has passed. I don't care what guilt you feel when you lay your head at night knowing that you've not fulfilled the call and the dream that God's given you. It's not too dead to be resurrected. Never too dead. So today, Jesus comes with hope. He comes with life. But see, you've got to move the stone. You've got to do what he said to do. Where's your miracle? It's in the cave behind the stone. How do you get the miracle out? You move the stone. How do you move the stone? You do what Jesus said to do.
Yes.
I'm going to close, begin to, for my first closing. I've heard that Steve does as many as 15 closings. So this is my first one. In 1 John chapter 5, in verse 4. So we're talking about moving the stone. We're talking about doing what God says. We're talking about resurrection of life. Coming to your dream. Coming to your vision. Coming to your call. It's not too dead. Don't take it to the grave. And Steve, I've done this before. I've gone, it might be kind of morbid, but I've done it. I've gone to cemeteries. And I've looked at the gravestones. And the little things that say that people. See, you are more than just a dash between two dates. And so I looked at this and I thought, what dreams are buried there with that person? What God-given gifts did they take to the grave that never saw fruition? What hope could have come if they heard a message that God was not finished? Don't take your dream, your gift, your call to the grave. Give it to you for a purpose. You're part of this church. Purpose. So you've got to fulfill your call. I'm sitting here today, you know, listen to the praise and worship. Powerful. In fact, don't tell Pastor Steve this, but I'm taking the worship team with me when I go. Powerful. I know, I've known Steve and Jill for many years. Powerful vision. People of faith. And I thought, why isn't this church rather than hundreds, thousands?
Amen.
And it will be. But you know what? You have to help fulfill the dream that God has given you. Because he's put you together. Somebody fitly joined together. It's not too dead to be resurrected. 1 John 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is a victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Didn't say Pastor Stephen Jones' faith. Didn't say Mike Francine's faith. Didn't say Oral Roberts' faith. It says, this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. Everybody say my faith. It's not the faith of some televangelist. It's not the faith of some healing revivalist. It's our faith that overcomes the world. I'm just going to kind of begin to close again with this testimony. I remember I was doing a crusade. I've done 44 crusades, I believe, in India alone. And I remember there was, you know, people saying, like, how do you prepare for a crusade? Well, we were over there, and the crusade was an 8-day crusade, Sunday to Sunday. And in the morning, about 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, we got our Indian staff together. I don't know if you were at this crusade, Dave, but we got our Indian staff here, and we were playing football, American football, you know, the real football. Got some South Africans here, and an Aussie. And so I got up in the morning, and I put on a shirt that said Florida, pants that said Jamaica, and thongs. Not a thong, okay, sandals. Clarify some things, all right? And so I was out playing football. That's how you prepare for a mass miracle crusade. Florida shirt, Jamaica pants, and sandals, whatever. And after we're done playing football for a couple of hours, went to my room. About 5 minutes later, there's a knock on the door. It's two old Indian women, about 50 years old. Okay, let me clarify that. Okay, wait a second. The average lifespan of a woman in India is 54. Okay, these two mature Indian ladies came to me for prayer. Cover yourself when you're up in the front, but and I didn't feel it. I had a Florida shirt to make a pants and sandals. I didn't feel like praying. I had not read my Bible. I didn't even know where my Bible was. I had not fasted. I was playing football. That's how you get ready for a mass miracle crusade. And they knocked on my door, and they didn't speak English. They just said, can you pray? So I laid my hands on the first lady. I'm wearing a Florida shirt to make a pants and sandals. Lay my hands on her, and she falls to the ground and begins swollen again and slithering like a snake, and all of a sudden I had a word of knowledge. She's demon-possessed. And see, listen. The demons overseas, I like to put it like that. I know there's a scripture for this. Help me with this, Steve. The demons here in America are the ones that couldn't make it overseas. I mean, just some wild stuff. Come with us. We'll put you in the demon tents. I mean, this is awesome stuff. And so now she's sitting there like saying, listen, I didn't feel very spiritual. I didn't feel very holy. I had a Florida shirt to make a pants and sandals. And now she's demon-possessed. I'm sitting there thinking, somebody just bring her to the Crusades. But this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith, and our faith has nothing to do with what we're wearing, how we're feeling. Our faith is doing what he said to do. So I jumped up. There was this man, these two mature Indian ladies. You know, they're about this tall. And so there's this 6'4" American jumps on the top of him. I got my hands on her head. She's kicking and screaming and foaming. And I look up. There's about 30 Hindu men and women that come running out there. And see, they didn't see that they came to me. She came to me for prayer. They just see this big old American on top of this lady. She's trying to get away. It wasn't cool. All right, it just wasn't cool. And I didn't go to a Bible school, so I don't, maybe they know how to deal with that. And so now she's kicking and screaming. And I look up and I'm thinking, dear Jesus, I just want to go to my room. I had on a Florida shirt, Jamaica pants, and sandals. I didn't look like a preacher. I didn't feel very holy. Now there's 30 Hindu men and women sitting out there molesting and mugging this little Indian woman. And I said, devils, this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith, and our faith has nothing to do with how we feel. Our faith is doing what he said to do. That's where your miracle is. It's in the cave behind the stone. You've got to open the stone. You've got to get the stone out of the way to let your miracle out. And so a devil, and you know, I've got my hands on her head. I said, devil, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. All of a sudden she looked up at me and she said, no. I felt like saying, okay, and I just wanted to go to my room. I didn't feel holy. I didn't feel spiritual. I had on a Florida shirt, Jamaica pants, and sandals. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. Our faith has nothing to do with how you feel, how you're dressed, how you look. So the devil says, no. I said, devil, yes. In the name of Jesus, I command you to come. And this woman was scarred for over 10 years. The friend with her said that these demons, just like in the Bible, would throw her in the fire. So she had all these burn scars all over her body, being demon-possessed. I said, devil, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out. And I watched the demon spirits leave her. And she fell over my feet. And when I picked her up, you couldn't even recognize the woman. The peace and the glory of God came. Now, come on, somebody shout hallelujah. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. And when I picked her up, she was just the peace of God, totally set free. And there was one man there out of those 30 Hindus that came, he tapped me on the shoulder. And he said, because of this, we all now believe in your Jesus. Your dream is not too dead to be resurrected. God is breathing life in it here tonight, this morning. God is breathing life to that dead dream, that vision that you've aborted. How many of you want to fulfill the dream that God gave you? Let me see your hands. How many of you believe that life is coming to that dream here today? Oh, I can't wait to come back here in another year and just see the life permeating from this church. Because you are walking and fulfilling the gift that God has called to you. Everybody, please stand to your feet. Never too dead for a resurrection. I don't care how much time has passed. You don't have to know how you're going to get to the ultimate place of destiny. If God's going to send somebody all the way from Benin City, Nigeria, to encourage you in your dream and destiny, to help you fulfill what he has for you to do. 75% of the people in your city have aborted a dream to one degree or another. I want to pray right now that God breathes life into those dreams. It's not too dead to be resurrected. If you're not dead, God is not done. Everybody just raise your hands towards heaven right now. As life comes to you, as life comes to your dreams and your visions. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your resurrection power, your resurrection life, which is embodied in the person of Jesus. And Father, as you are here today, and your presence is here today, your spirit is here today, and the Christ of resurrection life abides within us, I'm asking that he would bring life to people's lives here today. Their dreams that they've aborted months or years or decades ago, I'm asking that you would breathe life into those dreams, that this church would be all that you've called it to be, because everybody here is fulfilling that dream and that call. I command the dream thieves that have planted seeds of disappointment, seeds of darkness, seeds of doubt and unbelief. I'm buying the dream thieves and the echoes of their voices that ring in everybody's ears. I'm buying this today. And Father, you said if we decree a thing, it would be established unto us, according to Job 22. Right now, I decree life to dreams. I decree life to college. I decree life to every single person that is here today. And if you're sick in your body, life is coming to your sick bodies. And if you've got a dream that you've left fall by the wayside, life is coming to that dream here today. It's not too dead to be resurrected. So we decree life here today. Miracles here today. Your power here today. Your resurrection here today. In bodies, in finances, in dreams, in visions. Father, all across this place. Never too dead for a resurrection. Seal your word upon our hearts. Let us take encouragement from your word. A fresh taste and touch of Jesus in our lives here today. We give you honor and glory and praise for everything you do in and to and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to do something before I turn it back to Pastor Steve and Jill. I love you guys. We've been friends for a long time, and we're going to go to the nations together. You and now that you've officially announced my engagement. So we'll go together to the nations. And so I cherish our friendship and honor that in our lives. And so we're going to go to the nations together. Honor your pastors. Because he gave it to you as a gift. According to Ephesians 5, God gave these pastors to you as a gift. It's easy to stand up on the stage and see fault. See shortcomings. No, it's a gift to you. So I honor you guys. And what I want to do is, I've written 28 books. It's funny, I never read one book going through all my years of school, my year of college. Never read a book. Ever. Cheated my way through school. BC, all right? I was not safe, all right? So just give me a break here. And now I've written 28 books in 16 languages. I've actually given away 3 million of my books. I'm still trying to write a book someone will buy. So until then, I'll just keep giving them away. But what I want to do is my last book, my 28th book that I wrote, is called Dream Big. And what I would like to do is offer this. Anybody wants to send me a Facebook friend request, I'm going to send you that book free to your message box if you want to do it. Don't go to Michael Francine. That one's got the 5,000 limit. Go to Mike Francine, not public figures. Mike Francine from Denver, Colorado. Although I'm not from Denver anymore. But if you want to send me a friend request, I'd be happy to send you my newest book called Dream Big. But anyways, just my gift to you and Steve and Jill. Thank you. We love you guys. And appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mike. And I'm serious. You want me to go in November and preach at that crusade in Nigeria? God save you, come with me. Praise, what a word today. What a word. No matter, let me tell you, no matter how dead that dream may seem, no matter how impossible it may look, just like with Lazarus. I love that title. It's never too dead for a resurrection. Amen. I thank you, Lord, that you are resurrecting dreams here today. You, Lord, are breathing life on dead dreams. You are resurrecting dead dreams. We give you all the praise. We give you all the thanks today. I want to ask you, church, why don't you bow your head one more time and just close your eyes. While we have our heads bowed, while we have our eyes closed, I want to pray, especially today. I want to pray a life-changing prayer. A prayer that changed my life when I was 16. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for every person here this morning who would say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I'm not sure where I stand with God. I'm not sure if all is right between me and the Lord. Let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure, you are certain that you would go to heaven? You're absolutely positive of that, or would you have to be honest? and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you if you died today, are you sure that you would spend forever in heaven? Because the good news is you can be sure of that. You can know that. You can leave here this morning and you can know that all is right, all is well between you and God. You can know that every mistake, every sin you've ever committed, it's forgiven and it's washed away. You can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. Let me tell you, friend, heaven's a real place. There's a heaven that awaits us. There's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come out to the front. But right where you are standing, while we have our heads bowed, while we have our eyes closed, this is between you and God. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. I want to make sure that all is right, all is well with me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, I want you quickly, right now, just lift your hand up high. Slip your hand up. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in that prayer. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. I see your hand. God bless you. Yes. I want everybody who lifted your hand up, I want to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to ask you, please say this prayer with me. In fact, church, let's all say this prayer together. Everybody, say this. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth. For me to die on a cross, to shed his blood, to take my sin, my punishment. Lord, you said in your word that if I would believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I would confess Jesus is my Lord, you said that I would be saved, I would be your child. And so I do this today. Say this, say, Lord Jesus, I ask you, come in my life, come in my heart, forgive me of my sin, save me, Lord. I surrender my life to you. Say this, I confess, Jesus Christ, you are now Lord of my life. And that means from today, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what your word says. Not my will be done. Your will be done. And I thank you. Say, I thank you. Because I have confessed you. I am now saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. Heaven is my home. My name is written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And everybody said amen. Give the Lord thanks. Give him praise today. Hallelujah. Just for 3 minutes, sit down, would you, for a few minutes. We're just about done. I know we had a lot today. Thank you for being patient, but we've got a lot going on. If you lifted up your hand at that prayer, I'm going to ask you when we close the service, please remain seated where you are. And what about volunteers, our counselors are going to come over to you. We have a gift for you. We want to give you, there's a few things we want to give you. We want to give you a Bible and a few other things. So if you lifted your hand, just stay where you are. They'll come to you. But as we close this morning, I want to thank all of our volunteers who served today, our setup team, our children's ministry, our bookstore, our ushers, our greeters, our musicians, our singers, our sound engineer, everyone who served to make this happen. Thank you. We appreciate you. Amen. I want to say this, next week, does anybody remember what's happening next week? I said, does anybody know what's happening next week? Next week's going to be a big week in this church. We have Clayton Jennings is going to be here next week. Can I show you a quick video before we go today? All right, thank you for reminding me. I nearly forgot. Everybody, I nearly forgot something. It's a good thing my wife's here to remind me. I want to read here 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Give me that verse, please. Verse number 14. Look what it says. In the same way, the Lord ordered. Say, the Lord ordered.
The Lord ordered.
Everybody, say, the Lord ordered.
The Lord ordered.
I want you to notice who ordered this. The Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. The Bible says those who preach the gospel, those who preach the good news. How many of you agree that Mike Francine is preaching the good news in the nations of the world? 103 nations. Now, do you know what's amazing? We're going to receive an offering from Mike Francine World Outreach Ministry for his ministry. We want to sow into his crusade in Nigeria.
Yes.
In Liberia. Do you know what happens? Do you know that when you give to a man of God a ministry like this, let me tell you what happens. Do you know that every person that gets saved in the crusade, you have a part in that? You will be rewarded because you sowed into the crusade, because it wouldn't have happened without financial support. Because does it take money? Or are crusades in Nigeria for free? It takes a lot of money. It takes hundreds of thousands of dollars to have crusades this size. I mean, how many are we expecting in November? Hundreds of thousands of people. So we want to, we believe in what Mike Francine is doing. We want to support his ministry. How many of you believe this is a good ministry to support? Amen. So I'm going to ask you if you're able to. There might be, listen, I know there's some people here that would like to give, but you can't. Don't feel bad. But then there's some people here, you could give, you could write $10,000, not even blink your eye right now. Let me tell you, there's not a greater thing that you can invest in than in the salvation of people. There's nothing greater you can invest in than the salvation of people. If you want to write a check, make it to CFC or Christian Family Church, you can give by credit card, you can give by debit card. Thank you, Lord, for Mike Francine. Thank you, Lord, for Angelina. I thank you, Lord, for leading him, guiding him. I thank you for providing. I thank you, Lord, for these crusades, Father, for all the people that will come to Christ. I thank you for protecting them wherever they go. I thank you, your angels protect them. I thank you for your provision, Lord. I thank you for anointing him. Strength, Father. In the name of Jesus, I thank you it ain't over, Father. There's still many people that need to hear. There's still many people that are waiting to hear. I thank you, Father, for every person who gives today. I know, Lord, that as we give, that every soul that is saved, we have a part in it. You said that as we give, it will be given back to us. I thank you for blessing every giver today in Jesus' name. And if you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Do you know how to break out of poverty? I said, do you know how to break out of poverty? You give your way out. I gave my way out of poverty. You give your way out of poverty. If you're waiting to be blessed and then you're going to start giving, it ain't never going to happen. You see, when you start giving, that's when blessings start happening. Amen? Now I want to ask you quickly, put up Clayton's video for me. We're going to watch that. Then we're going to go home and we're going to have a great time in church today.
RTV6.
Now a story you will see only on RTV6. Imagine having a mission that 15 million people want to hear. Now imagine 15 million isn't enough. That's how one Hamilton County man feels now that he says he's been lit on fire for God. Good morning, Indiana anchor Beth Vaughn has the story of Clayton Jennings and his mission to spread his faith across the world.
Because he took my place, he took my hell, he took my nails.
Thousands traveled to hear him speak.
Because for the first time I saw it when I became a man.
Millions seeking out on YouTube.
I'm just a sinner saved by grace, running full throttle, telling the world to put down the bottles and drink living water instead.
And 283,000 people connect with him every day on Facebook.
I don't think revival's coming, I think the revival's already here.
Clayton Jennings welcomed our camera crew into his home
for a candid conversation on his Tell the World ministry.
Every event is different.
He tells me millennials are thirsty for truth, and that's why his message is catching fire.
So many popular speakers today want to tell you 10 ways to get rich, 5 ways to feel good, 18 ways to be motivated. And the millennial generation is just tired of hearing that because we're like, that's a lie. We don't buy into that stuff.
A different style, but he says it's also a throwback. Remember Billy Graham and the tent revivals of the 50s? Jennings has taken that model and modernized it.
My goal eventually is to launch crusades to go state by state all across America and then beyond and go back to the days of Billy Graham.
That goal is already in motion.
In Atlanta. And there was people who drove 19 hours from Florida to come.
Traveling nonstop, speaking to groups who travel hours to hear him.
And 2,000 years later, we're still talking about the same person. Jesus!
And 2016 is already booked up. He's somewhere new every week with plans to speak to faith seekers in Sweden and South Africa too.
My life was radically changed. I have a burning fire in my chest to tell people about that hope and to give that back to the rest of the world.
Because it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus till the day I die.
A message like Jennings, bold and unapologetic, is almost always matched with blowback. Tomorrow night, the threats against his life and what he has to say to the people who want to stand in his way. Beth Vaughn, RTV6.
Tell the world that Jesus is a step up.
Some might call him passionate, others provocative, and some call him wrong.
I'm not a role model. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, running full throttle.
Clayton Jennings comes from a long line of pastors, but this is new.
Because he took my place, he took my hell, he took my nails, he took my cross.
A different kind of preaching has helped him offer his message to more than 15 million people on YouTube and thousands more in person, without ever having to go to church on a Sunday morning.
We wonder why getting new church members is becoming so rare. Are tattoos wrong? Really, bro, who cares? Get out of your church pews and chairs. There's a dying world right outside of your stained glass windows. Depressed people, poor people, addicts, and widows.
As fame rises, so do safety concerns. Jennings tells me he's received death threats. That piece follows him wherever he may be, whether he's speaking to thousands of strangers or writing at home. He'll be doing a whole lot more writing in the coming weeks. Just this month, he signed a book deal with Penguin Random House to write a book about his ministry. And he tells me soon he'll welcome crews from Hollywood to shoot a pilot.
Hey everybody there, Christian Family Church in Jupiter. It's Clayton Jennings, and I have some exciting news to share with you. I'm going to be there with all of you January 29th at 10 a.m. preaching. I believe God has a special word that he wants me to share with all of you. And I know what you're thinking. We want Pastor Steve. We don't want you. Well, you're stuck with me. You're stuck with the B team. But don't let that keep you from coming. Matter of fact, bring people, as many as you can. Let's pack them into the place, and let's shout what I always say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I love y'all. I can't wait to see you soon. January 29th, CFC, Jupiter. Don't get any better than that. I love you. Bye.
Praise God. Next Sunday, Clayton Jennings will be with us. Last time we had Clayton Jennings, we had people drove 12 hours, 14 hours, 15 hours, drove from all over. And so let me tell you, we're going to open up the back section. We'll seat 450. We're going to be packed out next Sunday. I want to encourage you to come here early. I want to encourage you to bring somebody with you. Bring somebody with you. Tell your neighbor, bring somebody with you. Tell them again, they never heard you. Tell them, bring somebody with you. Now this is the last thing I want to ask you as we go today. Because we're expecting so many people next week. We're expecting so many new faces. How many of you agree we want to be prepared? Thanks for your enthusiasm. Don't complain yourself. Listen, we want to be prepared. What I mean is, when people walk in that hotel, I want to have lots of greeters. I want to have signs. I want them to be welcome. We need to have greeters. We need to have ushers. We need full all hands on deck next week. You know what that means? All hands on deck. So I'm going to ask Carol. Are you here next week, Carol? Would you stand up for me? Come out here. Don't be shy. I want Carol. I want James. Come out here for me if you would. Now, Carol helps us on the greeting team. Come on, she helps us on the greeting team. When you come into the lobby and they have those signs up, smile on Sunday. I want to have like six people there when people come in next week. So not like someone told me today they were looking for us. We want them to, the moment they walk in the hotel, we're going to have a lot of new people next week. So if you would help and come and be part of the greeting team, be in the lobby next Sunday. You need to be here early, by at least by 9:30, the minimum. I say 9:15, and welcome people and greet them. And then James leads our usher team. We need to have all, we're going to have a full complement of ushers next week. It's going to be packed out here. How many of you will come and help usher and help greet with Carol next week? Raise your hand if you will do that. I need more people. I need more ushers. Come and talk to James. Ladies or gentlemen, if you'd be a greeter, that's just simply be in the lobby, look good, have your sign, welcome to Christian Family Church. Come and talk to Carol. We want to have a full team next week. Is that fair enough? Amen? Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that you are God who resurrects dead dreams. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God of restoration. We thank you, Father, for everything that has been said today. And I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our life. I thank you, Lord, it's not over. I thank you, Lord, that the best is yet to come. I thank you that our greatest victories are out ahead of us, Lord. We are forgetting the past. We are pressing forward. Lord, we're excited for next week. I thank you this place is going to be filled. We're going to see people saved, Father. I just thank you for helping us, to every one of us, to invite someone, bring someone. I just thank you, Father, for everything you're going to do here next week. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next week, everybody. It's going to be great.
Thank you.